Welcome to Season 3 of Soccer Over Gotham, an NWSL podcast covering New Jersey, New York, Gotham FC. Hosted by Ruby Pinto and Gary Gibson. Welcome to episode 88 of Soccer Over Gotham, your favorite Gotham podcast. We have a great show for all of you. Gary, what do we have in this episode?
Is this thing on? For the second time in three seasons, New Jersey, New York, Gotham FC is in the playoffs. We did it. So we're going to break down this emotional roller coaster of a decision day, and we're going to see what we can learn from it. Ally Krieger plays her final regular season home match and plays out of her mind. We also have an NWSL streaming rights rumor update, and we have an amazing second half of the show. We have our regular season award show. Jenna, Ruby, and I just have a little bit too much fun. We go on for a long time, but it's worth every second of it. It's just us blowing off steam. It's been a long season. But Ruby, speaking of this long season, we survived another chaotic regular season. How you doing?
We did it. We really survived. And I am so glad just to be here to go through the highs and the lows and everything in between. It has been just amazing. And like you said, we made it. We made it to the playoffs. That's such an incredible thing to say out loud, because at the beginning of the season, we were just kind of hoping to do better than last season. So now we're in the playoffs. So amazing. So again, we're back. We didn't have an episode last week again. We had some sickness here, and I was out of the country. I was in Guatemala. I was visiting my family over there, especially my grandma that I haven't seen in a while. So that was really good. And I just have to say that I'm back, with so energized from seeing my grandma. I felt like I really needed that, and my heart feel so full right now. So that was incredible. And I'm so glad you're feeling better, Gary. How are you?
I'm good. My personality is back. back to back. You had COVID and then I got COVID.
Yeah.
And this is true. We actually did record last week.
We did.
COVID hit me pretty hard for one day, and it just took me a lot of chest congestion. So we did record, and it took not only I was just trying to get my words out, but it took my personality away. And I'm editing this thing, and I'm so boring listening to myself. I can't put this out there. So I apologize, everybody, but I'm back. My personality's back. So we're back on it. And I just got to give a shout out to Gotham FC. I renewed my season tickets early, and our season ticket holder rep contacted us and said, "Hey, do you want to get field seats for the day?" And I was like, you know, I'm a college kid with a mortgage. So I'm like, oh man, I feel like a baller for a day. I'm like, yeah, let's do that. Let's get field seats. So I sat there. I got my field seats, and they were really fun. It's cool being close to the action. And Midge Purse scored that goal, and she ran right up to us. And it was so cool to be that close.
Yeah.
I prefer being higher up because I can see more of the field, but it is really cool to be right up and close with the team. I know you had field seats for a while, right?
I had field tickets for, I think it was 2020, right before the pandemic. So just keep in mind that field tickets back then were not as expensive as they are today. So yeah. I had a really great deal because they were just they were still sky blue back then. So yeah, I had field tickets, but because of COVID, that did not happen. So they had to get my season tickets for the following season. But again, because of COVID, I didn't get the field seats. So I just got front row in one of the sections. I forgot what section now. Oh, it was on the, I think it was 124 or 126, where the sun hits you hard.
Yeah, the sunset, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. And then the following year, I moved to the other side because of the sun. But yeah, I had field tickets but I didn't use them because of COVID. But I'm glad you got to experience it for me.
Absolutely. Speaking of this game, obviously, shout out to Cloud9. That TFO up for Ally Krieger's last game was perfection. That was a work of art. It was just amazing to see in person. And again, shout out to them for doing that.
Exactly. Like, that thing is humongous. So just think about all the work that they have to do. They do that on their spare time. So they all work jobs and then they all come together to make this beautiful thing. It was just incredible. I was not able to see it in person, but just even in pictures, it looked really, really, really good.
Yeah. Speaking of hard work on graphics, you did an amazing job, just telling you on those two or two or three, whatever you had a bunch of them for Ally Krieger's last game. Yeah, they were awesome.
So, yeah, I did three and I did them when I was in Guatemala. So, yeah, I got inspired over there and I made three graphics for Ally Krieger. They were amazing. And yeah, you're going to keep seeing those graphics throughout this season and next season. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You got these amazing graphics and here I am putting out like little Miss memes and stuff.
No, we all do like our part for the podcast and we have to recognize that. Like you do your thing, I do my thing, and together we make something great.
Yeah. All right, let's jump real quickly into some league team news. Let's just hit it out of the park and let's get onto the game. But there is a rumor, it's not official yet, but Sportico has said that the NWSL has reached an agreement for their next round of media rights, and it seems they are divvying it up between ESPN, CBS, Amazon, and what's called Scripps. It's a local college kind of broadcast thing. I'm not sure exactly what it means, but the deal will run for 4 years, which would hit at the time of the World Cup, where they can hopefully get another boost and get another media deal, which is really, really cool. Then there's no announcement on how much it's worth. The last media deal was about $1.5 million, and the NWSL had to foot their own broadcast, which is like, you know, that's a couple $100,000 there. So that takes away a lot of their money coming from that deal. So hopefully this one is like, you know, 10 times that. And, you know, we'll see what happens. But Ruby, your thoughts?
Yeah. And honestly, I just hope it benefits the fans, the league, and the players. I'm all for it. At the end of the day, I just hope it's not confusing because we have like 1, 2, 3, 4 networks here, ESPN, CBS, Amazon, and Scripps. I hope it's just not complicated as it sounds. And I think it's a good thing that, you know, it will be like it will hit the market again directly after 2027, like you said, by the World Cup. Because, you know, that's when they get like more eyes on the league and the players and everything here. And you know what? I'm going to make it a goal to go to the next World Cup.
There you go. And I've obviously been doing this for a while and I've been a fan of this league for a little while. So I've been through it. I've been through it with like the Go 90, the Yahoo Sports and, you know, it's been a mess. So anything is better than that. And I echo your sentiment on it being confusing. Like if you're a new fan, it's like, oh, I just got into Gotham FC. Like, where can I see the games? Well, do you have Amazon Prime? Get that. Okay. Get ESPN Plus. Also, you got to get Paramount Plus. And if the game is on CBS Sports Network, you got to get Fubo.
Oh, my God.
I don't know what Scripps is. So it's like you got to get like six different streaming services just to watch the games. Shout out to the MLS because their Apple deal was fantastic, right? At first, you were like, okay, it's not on network TV, but it's all in one place. And like I know that, you know, the Red Bulls play at 7:30 on Saturday nights every Saturday night in the same place. And it just makes it so much easier to follow your team. It's in one place. So I'm hoping it's not as complicated as it sounds, like you said.
Yeah, we're really hoping for that. If not, I think we're just going to have to make like one main account and we all chip in and we all log in into one account and watch the game. I don't know. Just being creative here.
Yes. We're all one big family. We get a family plan. That's what we'll do. All right. Let's get to this game. This is one of my most like fun like frustrating games I've ever been to. So at least this is close to like last season. And this is I'm calling this the most important game in Gotham FC's history, given the amount of resources put into this roster to win now and just how good this team can be. I think that the expectations are so high that I think like Gotham just making the playoffs 2 years ago was like an aberration. Like, okay, like that's amazing. We made the playoffs, but I think this year the stakes are a little bit higher given the investment. So, and this game was a playoff game. It felt like a playoff game, and there's no other way to describe it. Gotham wins and they host the playoff game, which is what I've been asking for forever. And if they draw, they need help to get over that line. If they lose, then they need a lot of help. And KC's coming into this game like Gotham was at the last game of last season with nothing to play for. But again, that's what they said about us last season. They were going to come to play. Everybody's playing for their jobs and nobody wants to go out as the worst team in the league. So they were going for it. The injury list was shorter. It's getting shorter and shorter, and we're getting happier and happier about it. We just have Kelly O'Hara, Christy Mewis, Taylor Smith, and Abby Smith still on the injury list. And the lineup for this game was Mandy Haught in goal. We had our top choice back line of Jenna Neiswanger. We had Krieger. We had Lopez. And we had Edmonds on the right. And then we had Sheehan, Martin, and Ryan across the midfield. And up front, we had that monster of a front line, which is Lynn Williams, Mitch Purse, and Esther Gonzalez. Your thoughts on that, Ruby?
My thoughts on this, I think the attack was super dangerous with Williams, Gonzalez, and Purse. All three players are great goal scorers and have lots of speed, which is good going against KC. And we see Gonzalez starting again, which I hope this means that her ankle is better now.
Yeah. I was surprised to see Bernini not starting and Edmonds again in the starter. But we know Edmonds is a gamer, and you have to be really cautious about Dabinia and Cooper. I'm not certain, but I think that Gotham was just wanted to put a more experienced defender in that spot, and that's reasonable to me. It's crazy, again, to think about how deep this roster is. And again, it speaks volumes of those three midfielders that have earned spots over this year and this season. I'm so proud of those three. We'll get to that in the second segment with our end of the year season rewards. Now, Ruby, this game, it couldn't have started any better for Gotham. They were energized. They were free-flowing. They were pressing. Esther was dropping in, and Mitch was taking a more central position. The first goal is exactly how Gotham draws these things up. High pressure, high turnover. Sheehan jumps on it, plays Mitch through, and it was just a clean finish. I mean, just what a start. The energy in that building was just incredible. And then a couple minutes later, Ryan showcases every single thing that we all knew she was capable of. An amazing goal. She just sliced right through that defense in a sequence that I think Midge would be proud of. Just that shot that kisses the inside of the far post was just the cherry on top. Certainly one of the better goals of the season. Again, this crowd is roaring and just everything is coming up Gotham. I'm curious what you thought about that start, Ruby.
First of all, I have to let you guys know how I watched this game, because the day that Gotham play, I was at the airport coming back from Guatemala, and I couldn't get on Twitter. I couldn't get on any social media because I didn't want to spoil it. I wanted to watch it like if it was live, even though it wasn't. So I was like at the airport watching the game, like watching the replay. I had to wait like 4 hours for the replay to be on Paramount. So I'm watching the game here at the airport. And I just have to say, they had a phenomenal start. Gotham came out of the gates with so much energy and precision. It was amazing. It was thrilling. It was a thrilling performance. And it, like you said, I could even hear it through my phone. The crowd was going. It had the crowd going. It was amazing. The high pressure strategy really paid off in this game. leading to a brilliant executed first goal. Sheehan is not a goal scorer, but she is really, really good with those through balls. It did happen in another game with Williams, where she like sent the ball to Williams. Williams was able to control it, made an amazing save in this other game. Kind of similar here with Midge Purse. And that's something that I need to like mention with Sheehan. Like again, she's just doing like the dirty work and not getting like the accolades that she should have. I love her. And then that second goal, amazing. That second ball by second goal by Ryan, it was just a masterclass in offensive play. Like you said, we know what she's capable of. And she went into this game and just showed us that.
Yeah. Real quickly. So remember we did the interview like early in the season with Ryan, and she was talking about like how she was like, you know, learning to play chess.
Yeah.
And it was like such a little thing. And obviously it's like that question that we love, like, what are you nerdy about outside of soccer? But it was, she did the chess pieces again after the
celebration.
Her goal.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was good to see that those lessons are paying off. But let's get to the second half of the first half. And I mean, what can you even say? I think everybody switches off except for Krieger.
It was obviously
a great goal from Spantra. It was pretty much the only place Mandy couldn't get to. And then it's like all KC. Mandy flubs a pass to Krieger, gets jumped by Hamilton. And to Mandy's credit, she does a terrific job of just getting to her, closing down, and just delaying Hamilton just enough. And then that image of Krieger flying across the goal line just to the right spot at the right time and get clearing that ball. And you can just see there's a second of contemplation that Allie has after doing that. And you just know that she's like thinking, is this the kind of night I'm going to have? Because she came, it was amazing. And that's going to stick with me. That's that image of her giving everything to this team. Then you get this own goal off Nyswanger. Just feels so bad for the rookie. Just the worst. Like not only it's an important game, but you don't want like an own goal to be a reason that like Allie Krieger's last game. You know what I mean? Like that's got to be crazy. And at halftime, this game was like nearly statistically even. It was like 50% down the line. Ridiculous first half. Ruby, your thoughts?
And so much to say, but let me just summarize it. Just as fast as Gotham scored two goals, KC was able to equalize, and that was like a downer for me. It was kind of painful, and it was chaos. Definitely chaos just watching this game, because I know like everything had passed, but for me, like it felt like real time when I was watching it like 4 hours later, and I was like at the edge of my seat waiting for my plane watching this game. And Krieger kept Gotham in the game. She's just amazing. She was like, not today, not in my house, not here. She really wanted to keep going. She didn't want this to be her last game. It was a little disappointed that Gotham was not able to keep the lead before going into the locker room. But I knew it was going to be a hard game, because KC has great players like Davina, Cooper, Hamilton, Labonte, but Gotham had the lead, and they just needed to keep that lead. It didn't happen, but hey, I believe Gotham really gave their all.
Yeah, I never wanted the halftime whistle to come any quicker. I just wanted them just to get the halftime reset. And man, this team, they just can't make it easy on us, can they? Sometimes I just can't with this team. I just can't.
Heart attack.
Yeah. You know, this young midfield is the thing that's going to make or break this team down the stretch. They were tremendous early on, and they did get a bit stretched and overrun in the second half of the first half. You know, they cleaned it up in the second half. We'll get to that. But, you know, that midfield is going to carry us to the championship, or they're going to break our spirits.
Yeah. And at some point of the game, I felt like this is where you need Zerboni because of that experience. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you just have to work with what you have.
Yeah. Now, the second half has been a running theme for this team all season. And it was great adjustments from the coaching staff. And Gotham gets back on the front foot. But it's Jen. It's just like 45 minutes of Sheehan hitting the crossbar, William hitting the post. And it's just like, frankly, if Franch doesn't make three Franch-like saves, like this one is over. And it just can't make it easy on us. Ruby, your thoughts on this team just getting across the finish line?
They really tried. And it feels like this has been something like the theme for Gotham, where they hit the post, they hit a defender, the goalie saves it. Like, it's like so close yet so far. It's kind of frustrating. And it's not because Gotham is not trying. They're really trying. Even in this game, they tried from up close, they tried from far away, and it was just not happening. Yeah, Gotham really tried to get that win, but nothing was going in the net, and it was just really frustrating to watch.
Yeah, very frustrating. You know, I told myself that I was only going to scoreboard watch if the game was tied or, heaven forbid, Gotham was losing. Like, halftime, like, things aren't great, but there aren't really, like, worrying either. And then it just starts. Like, I think at halftime, like, North Carolina jumped over Gotham, but I think everything else was okay. Mm-hmm. And then it just started, like, 5 minutes into the half, and then Angel City's over the line. Mm-hmm. You know, Washington's below the line, and then OL's creeping up, and then they scored, like, three goals in, like, 5 minutes, and then everybody else starts scoring and climbing and climbing, and I'm like, and then Gotham's in sixth and, like, holding on for dear life. Like, I'm watching Orlando's game like a hawk, and I remember last episode remarking on, like, Gotham's position and being like, you know what? Like, we're in that little groove there. We're the only team with, like, a positive goal differential. It was, like, plus one, but, I mean, I was like, that might come in handy later.
Yeah,
and it certainly did. And I don't recommend Gotham fans watching the extended highlights from the Orlando game, because Orlando had plenty of chances to get those goals and get that goal differential. However, we did it. We're heading for the playoffs.
For real. It doesn't matter how it happened at this time, because all the games were going at the same time. And there were so many possibilities of, like, who was going to make it and who was not. The important part is that doesn't matter how it happened, Gotham is in.
Yeah, agree. Any player notes, Ruby?
And like I mentioned earlier right now, I said I love how Gotham was, like, trying from far, from near. And I really like that Lynn Williams was actually shooting from far, which is something that Gotham doesn't do often. And it was nice to see. Even though she was not able to score, I really appreciate the effort.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, shout out to New Jersey soccer legend Kristen Edmonds, who was absolutely superb on the night. I mean, we're talking about defending Dabinia and Cooper all night. And if you look at, like, the pass map of the positioning, they were both rolled to Kristen's side the entire time. And she had 92 touches, which is the only player that was close to her was 70, was Jenna Neiswanger. She had 15 recoveries against Dabinia and Cooper. She also created two chances. She got the assist as well. Just well done, Kristen.
Yeah, she was phenomenal. At some point, I really thought she was going to fight a player. But that's just the jersey in her.
Yes, yes. Kristen would fight a player.
We know.
But big shout out also to the entire midfield. They really pulled it together for that second half, and they all showed why they earned the spot on this roster. Sheehan has, when she first started with this team, she was a very, like, kind of slow and methodical player, but her hustle has picked up, and I think she's become a better athlete this year. And she's been all over the place and hustling and one of our best pressers on the pitch. And I think Ryan was absolutely special as well on the night. And I think she has an extensive trophy case already. And I think that was the thing that jumped out at me when we interviewed her doing the research. I'm like, how much she's already won and she's so young. but you see why, because she just comes up big in big moments. And yeah, and obviously Martin was solid as always. Now, at the end of the day, we are in. Gotham now just has to win 3 games in a row, which is, you know, this team is definitely more than capable of doing. The slate is clean right now. Nothing that happened before this moment matters. All eyes are on that final prize, and let's just go get it.
Yeah, definitely. Let's go get that. Like, we have a really good chance to make it to the final and even winning the championship. And it's so good to see Gotham going into the playoffs. Now, we have to put that foot and just win. Like, we have to get in that race. We have to win. We have to win this because I just feel like Gotham deserves it for how hard they have played this season. Like I didn't really think they were going to get this far this season, but I'm so happy they really did that. I would like some chaos. Why not? We love a little bit of chaos out there. And I would like to see a Gotham against Angel City in the final game. Just imagine that. That would be total chaos. Gotham and Angel City.
Yeah, we're going to, I don't care what happens. Like, I'm finding we're going to both go to a watch party if they go to the finals.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll have some fun. And let's get to some post-game quotes. Krieger says that having an NWSL decision day was exciting and motivating. When she and the team learned that they had secured the playoff spot, they were relieved, and she said she could finally turn her attention to enjoying her retirement ceremony. Your thoughts, Ruby?
I mean, what a relief after, like, being so stressed of not knowing if you're going to make it or not. And this decision day was really stressful for a lot of teams, especially because this season has been so close where, like, the table has been so tight where any team except Chicago and KC could have made it into the playoffs. So, like, I understand how she felt. And then I'm so glad she was able to enjoy her retirement ceremony. I wasn't able to be there, but tell us, Gary, how was that?
It was crazy. It was like just, I mean, even then when the game was over, there was like 2 games that were like right on the wire. And like, you just had to wait like 10 minutes. Because the game's like, they had like, you know, 20 minutes of stoppage time, of course.
Yeah.
Especially like the Orlando game. And then I think we were also waiting on the Washington game, I think. Something like that. But man, that was ridiculous. But you could just hear like as soon as they knew, the entire team was celebrating Allie's, you know, celebration. And then the whole crowd just got, it was this roar and it was awesome just to be able to make it over that line. So I do think decision day was a super success, and, you know, chaos is the NWSL and it is what it does. Let's talk about Amoros. And Amoros said the growth of this team from the last season to this year is a credit to everyone, a lot of work. And now they are in the playoffs. It was a life or death game. And now they go on to North Carolina and they look to win.
Yeah, I think it has been a very long season and Gotham has given their all. And I think a spot in the playoffs is well deserved.
Yeah. I can't wait till we do, you know, our season reflection show. Hopefully we have a lot to talk about, especially maybe a championship reflection show.
Yeah.
That would be pretty cool. And it's going to be just an interesting conversation. But any stats of the game, Ruby?
So Gotham has not been able to win against KC. So with this game, it is 3 draws and 3 losses. Hopefully that changes next season because I think Gotham is a superior team.
Yeah. I think we officially won the offseason. It is what it is. My stat of the week, or stat of the game, is that we scored 2 goals and both of them came off of big chances, which we've been struggling to create all season. Again, good sign to come. Let's keep it going into the playoffs. Over on Twitter at Over Gotham Pod, fans chose Krieger as their player of the match. I agree. Do you agree, Ruby?
Yeah, Krieger's the right answer, especially because this was her retirement game. She made that incredible save when everyone thought that ball was going in. She stepped up. She was there for the team. So, yeah, she deserves it.
Yeah, we're here talking about the playoffs because Krieger willed it to be so. Didn't put a single foot wrong in that game. Again, it's just an honor to watch her play.
Yeah, game in and game out, Krieger has been key for Gotham making to the playoffs. It will be really hard. It's going to be really hard for Gotham to fill her shoes / her position.
Yeah, but besides that, I want to double down on Kristen Edmonds' big night out. Mm-hmm. And obviously, I want to tell you that Rhea Ryan was, again, fantastic, awesome on the night. All right, let's talk about the standings. We are in as the sixth seed in the playoffs. Oh, big relief that is. What a season. You know, honestly, congrats to the Wave on the Shield in their second season.
Yeah.
That's incredible. And shout out to # once Gotham Becky Tweed. I mean, what an absolute run. It's just a remarkable turnaround.
And I just have to say that I called it. I called it Angel City was going to make it to the playoffs. And not because I like Angel City, but because of Becky Tweed, I know they were going to make it. Becky has been incredible. She brought Angel City back to life. And if Angel City doesn't give her the job, I don't know. There's something wrong with them.
Yeah, I've been right about a lot of things this season. And I was very, very, very happy to be wrong about Orlando and not making the playoffs. So,
right. Yes.
Yeah, I was like, I better not be right. But speaking of the playoffs, we are in as the sixth seed, which means we travel on this Sunday at 7 p.m. to North Carolina to take on familiar foe, the Courage. Then on the other side of that, they have Angel City playing the OL Reign, the fifth and fourth seed. And our road to the championship goes through North Carolina. Then it goes through Portland on the road. Then whoever the heck makes it to the finals, we're going to beat them too. All right. So starting, again, this is the league's second best road team. And I can't wait to get to this game. Ruby, your thoughts on this matchup?
This year, Gotham and North Carolina have played 4 times. This is if we include the Challenge Cup game. So it has been 2 wins and 2 draws. So that's a very, very good chance for Gotham to win. This is a game that they need to win. They have to win in order for them to keep going. But if they draw, we will definitely get chaos. We don't want penalties, but, you know, it could always happen.
Yeah, of all the matchups, I think this one would probably be the most exciting out of all the matchups that we would have in this tournament. Mm-hmm. This is, as you said, we put 2 draws, 2 wins, and every one of these games have been just interesting. Like one game, Gotham is just dominating. And then the next one, the Courage are dominant. And then we draw. And then that one game was like, was it Gotham scored 3 goals after the 64th minute?
Yeah.
And, anything can happen. And this is going to come down to which team imposes their game plan better. And both teams like to press and possess. I like our chances, but wow, this is going to be an interesting matchup. And yeah, let's go. What are we manifesting this week?
So I'm going to start early and I'm just going to manifest to make it to the final game.
Yeah, let's get healthy. Let's go. No drama. Let's just dominate and move on. Any random thoughts before we go?
No random thoughts for me today.
Just real quickly, sometimes you get reminded of things. And on Twitter, I think Opta posted a stat of the top, I would say, pass percentages for the season over the past couple seasons. And just to see Allie Long's 2021 season, she had 91% passing accuracy. And she played nearly every minute of that season. Yeah. How incredible. I remember covering that every week was like the Allie Long stat of the week, the how incredible she was.
Yeah. 2021 was definitely Allie Long's year.
Yeah. And then one more before we go. This is also the time where they start announcing the Iron Woman awards. And in a way, I'm glad that none of our players have that award. I've been saying this since the beginning. We've been covering this team that I don't like when a player plays the entire season. I don't think it's good for them as far as physically to do that. And I think it says a lot about your roster that you can't take one player out of your roster for an entire season. And also, it also says that you're not developing players. And obviously, I'm huge on developing players and giving players chances for minutes and stuff like that. So there wasn't a single player on this team that was not like expendable for a couple minutes here and there. And I think the coaching staff has done just an amazing job of not only balancing this veteran heavy roster, but again, look at the midfield. We have Ryan, Sheehan, and Martin, who've just grown immensely over the season. And Jenna Neiswanger and Bruninha has been a tremendous growth of this season. So they've been able to balance all that. And I just want to say thank you to the coaching staff and the coaches behind the scenes, the physical staff, all that. Thank you for doing that. And I'm really, really happy that we are where we are.
Yeah. And, I just want to add to that these players have been able to grow and develop throughout the season because of that same reason, because they were given minutes, they were given that chance to play. And I believe every player in that roster should have a chance to play. And I mean, I'm not trashing the players that played like every single minute into the season. That's just incredible. But I also think they deserve some rest.
Yeah. Agree. We'll get into that in our season reflection show about the growth of some players and even the veterans. But I am ready for the fans to hear our season ending award show. It is so much fun.
Yeah.
Obviously, we love having Jenna on the show. She's our best friend of the show. We've been doing this for a long time together. We've grown together, and honestly, we're just having fun. We're blowing off steam. It's been a long season. We love reflecting on, the fans' voices and what they have to say. So I'm sure we amplify the fans' voice a lot in that. All right. So I'm ready to get to the award show. You ready, Ruby?
Let's go.
All right. Welcome back to Soccer Over Gotham. You guys know this is some of my favorite segments. This is the season 3 regular season award show as voted on by you guys, the fans, over on our Twitter at Over Gotham Pod. Thanks to everyone who voted. There is so much to talk about. Everything is always better with friends. So, of course, we brought back best friend of the show, Jenna Tinelli of The Equalizer and everything else. How are you, Jenna?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me back. And I was just thinking, we are now wrapping up our third season.
Right?
Of covering this team. Like, we've known each other for years, plural.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of crazy. So it's just been so fun, like, this ride with you two. And I'm always so grateful to come on and chat with you. So thank you so much for having me back. But yeah, I mean, another season in the books. What a season it was. Just so impressed with Gotham overall this season. What a turnaround from last season. They basically stayed above that playoff line the entire time. They made it into the playoffs. I won't miss those Sunday night drives back from Red Bull, but I am bummed we won't have a home match this weekend. So I guess kind of the silver lining, but they're in the playoffs. That's all that matters. And I'm just really excited to see what happens this weekend.
Exactly. Yeah. We've been through that whole evolution of Gotham, the lows and the highs, technically. So it's really impressive how far they've gotten. And like you said, they're now in the playoffs. Doesn't matter what happened before that. They have a championship to win now.
Let's get to While We're Here, which is the Fan Vote the Award show. First, we always start with a poll I do not make, which is goalkeeping, because why would I? And so I'm just curious, your thoughts on goalkeeping this season, obviously how good Abby Smith was and how good Mandy has been.
Yeah, I mean, Abby Smith was just unreal. Huge part of the reason for this team's success. Huge part of the reason why Gotham has, I think it was the third lowest goals allowed in the league. And her injury was devastating. I just felt so bad for her, first and foremost, and for the team. But Gotham is a well-constructed team that they still had Mandy Haw and Michelle Bedos on the bench. And Mandy stepped up she stepped up and she did what she needed to do. And actually, it's been a real pleasure getting to watch her play, because in 2021, when she was kind of riding the bench, I was always so curious to see what she had in store. So it's just been nice to, you know, again, a silver lining, getting to see her step up. And yeah, Gotham has a good goalkeeping unit. So
exactly, she does. And Abby Smith, like you said, unreal. She's like Superwoman in the net. I believe it is very unfortunate what happened to her with the injury, and we haven't seen her play since. Hopefully she gets better soon. We want to see her back with Gotham, either, I don't think this season, but maybe next season. And Mandy, like you said, she has stepped up, and it's incredible to see like also how she has evolved with Gotham from, like you said, being the third keeper to now being the starter keeper for Gotham. That's incredible. And honestly, I see her growing into the league. If she's not the starter keeper next season, I know some other team is going to want her, because she's been really, really good.
Yeah, I think this is a great place to start this award show. Because we're talking about like where we are right now. Abby was like, I think she had like 8 starts and like 4 saves of the week, or like 3 saves of the week and 1 player of the week or something like that. She was so good. And if you think back to like how tight this race was at the end of the season, we were like 1 goal away from being like in the Shield hunt and 1 goal from not being in the playoffs. Yeah. And how many times did Abby like save our butts early in the season, made that one save every game to like save points. And she doesn't make one of those saves, we're not in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So we owe a lot to Abby. But as you guys know, I am a huge Mandy Haught fan. I think her ceiling is insanity. I think she could be like an American Kaylin Sheridan. I think she has the same type of distribution, range, and command. I think she could be really, really good. And coming along with that is, you know, she does make some of the Kaylin Sheridan mistakes like she did this week. But
my heart was
yeah,
heart rate was a little through the roof there. But you know, I think a lot of that also has to do with the style of play that Juan has them playing, with that super high press and having the goalkeeper like in like Guam, basically like all halfway up the field. But
yeah,
she's been great, and I agree with you, Gary. I think she has an incredibly high ceiling.
Yeah, and let's not act like Abby didn't have her moments too early in the season.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. A couple of scary moments for sure.
But yeah, we're definitely lucky to have both of them. And, you know, it's something I talk about a lot is how talented and how deep the goalkeeping pool is. But let's move over to our first award, which was originally the Rookie of the Year, but now it is Young Player of the Year, since we only have one rookie. But I like to take a look at these as in telling a story. So last season, at the end of the season, it was Taryn Torres who won 53% of the vote. She had a great season. And again, we're bummed that she is not with us this season. This season, at the middle of the season, it was nearly dead even with Nyswanger and Bruninha. Nyswanger barely overtook Bruninha, 48% to 40%. And at the end of the season, it is all Jenna Nyswanger, 78%. Bernine is down to 15%. So obviously the World Cup plays into that as well. But Jenna, your thoughts on the best young player?
Yeah, I mean, I'm in agreement. Obviously, love to see another Jenna excel. But I think just Nyswanger has been incredible. I mean, in my opinion, she's the Rookie of the Year. She not only took on a brand new position in a brand new system, she excelled and she was instrumental in getting Gotham into the postseason. She became their leading penalty taker after, you know, Christie was away at World Cup and then injured. And she's just really flourished, and just seeing how her growth this season and how she's contributed to this team has just been incredibly impressive. I mean, Bruning is also incredible, as is Yasmin Ryan and Delaney Sheehan, who were the other choices on this poll. But I think for me, just all that Jenna has done adapting to the new role and contributing on the field, she gets my vote for sure.
Yeah, I mean, out of the four, she's the one who stood out most of the season, or all of the season. Like you said, yeah, World Cup has to do with it. But yeah, we have seen Jenna do incredible things. She has taken penalties, like stone cold penalties, like just go out there. I don't think she ever looked like a rookie to me. She always looked like so confident on the field. She knew what she was going for. She goes up, she goes down, she defends, she attacks, she's everywhere. I'm all for Jenna here.
Yeah, and thinking about, you know, how razor thin the, you know, the league is, but with Jenna, she was she didn't declare for the draft till the last possible second. And so we are lucky. She was, I think originally it was supposed to play overseas, but somehow it either didn't work out or she decided to stay here. But we're all better for it, and we're glad that she did. And, you know, having one rookie and having it be that rookie is pretty incredible. And I think she, from the minute she stepped on the field, she was at a high level, and you knew this was not a normal rookie. Like, she's wise beyond her years. And we're going to talk about this later, but that goal she scored from, like, outside 30 yards out against the OL Reign on a rope to the far post was like, that was like her like announcing that she not only, you know, she's for real. And again, I'm just glad we have her, and her ceiling is ridiculous. And I'm kind of mad that she's not in the national team camp this month, but you know, maybe soon enough she'll get there. All right. So discussion questions to break this up a little bit. I'm curious your thoughts on the new trophy.
About time.
Yes.
Sorry, no, I almost made Gary do a spit take there of his seltzer.
I was just waiting for someone to say something because, yes, about time. I've been asking for this for like the longest. I was like, that trophy's like ridiculous. Is this like high school? No, come on. Give these players something to lift that's like classy, like something that they deserve. And I'm so glad they finally redesigned the trophy.
Yeah.
And it looks so freaking cool. And it's going to look even better here at Gotham.
There you go.
I agree with everything you just said. Nothing else to add. Nothing else to add.
Yeah, it's not a cup, but
I know that's the only thing. I wish they could drink out of it.
Yeah, it's one of those. It looks like the World Cup trophy. So it's going to be beautiful, especially when, again, you said, as Gotham will be lifting that hopefully at the end of the season.
And it's from Tiffany's, so that's great. Yeah,
that is true.
And they're also redesigning the shield. So next year, we're also going to get a new shield. Thank God.
Mm-hmm. No more appetizer plate.
Sure. When they were giving the shield to the Wave, I think to Alex Morgan, it kind of looked like a plastic silver plate. I was like, ugh.
I mean, it's like barely a step up from that. Like, let's be honest. But no, it's just great all around. And, you know, these things take time. And it probably should have been done sooner. But I'm just glad to see that they are doing it because it's a mark of a league that's serious and is going to be sticking around for a lot longer. You know, it's great.
All right. On to best Krieger. I mean, best defender. Krieger won it last season.
See what you did there. Yeah.
She won it in the midseason. She won it at the end of the season. Yeah, I think Bernina is the only one who cracked 25% of the vote. So, and that was midseason, but it's been all Krieger. Your thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, Allie freaking Krieger. Just look at her performance last weekend. She's running around after kids half her age, and she's keeping up with them. She has it locked down as center back. Her leadership on the back line and in the team in general, it's just, you know, when she was out with injuries, it wasn't the same. It really wasn't the same. Just what she brings is irreplaceable. She will really be missed next season, and I know, you know, we'll probably talk about this more in the offseason stuff, but that's a position that they're going to really have to look at, I think, their back line and their center backs in the offseason. So, yeah, for me, it's Krieger all the way.
Yeah, Gotham definitely has big shoes to fill there with Krieger. Once she's gone, I don't even know what we're going to do. Hopefully, I don't know. Like, I don't want to think about it. I mean, there's still time. She can, like, come back for one more season while we figure it out.
She's tired.
She is tired, and she has two kids to take care of. Yep. So, yeah, we understand. It's her time, and, I mean, she had such an incredible career. And like you said, she's running next to all these, like, young kids out there, and she doesn't, like, miss a beat. She's out there doing, like,
goal line clearances.
Exactly. Like you said, just this past game, she showed what she's made of, and come back.
Oh, no.
Yes. Next question. Now, just how good that she has been is just incredible. Not only just on the field as a leader, outside the field, she's been amazing. But there was a stat that was pulled up by The Athletic, and I think is just one of the most ridiculous stats I've ever heard, ever, that the dribble passed rates, as far as defenders, like the average dribble passed rate is around like 25 to like 33%. You can get past a defender. Allie Krieger got dribbled past 4.8% of the time, which is, it is absolutely insanity. Like that is, I can't even imagine being able to pull that off at, again, at her age, whatever. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And there was a moment in this past game where she got on the touchline with Cooper. And Cooper is a big, physical, young athlete. She's a stud. She's going to be a great player for a long time. And Allie just didn't bait. She didn't bite. And she got her to not only make the tackle, but to push, first of all, back off of Cooper for a corner kick. And I just remember that moment going, man, she still got it. Mm-hmm. She has still got it. Man, it's going to be a bummer when she retires. Gonna be a bummer. So bonus question. Jenna, what was your favorite interview this season? I know you've done so many.
Interview I've done? I thought you meant like interview you had on the podcast when I saw the question.
No.
Oh, crap.
Or both. I don't know. Both.
I mean, I'm my own favorite interview. No, I'm kidding. Gosh, there's so many to pick from. Okay. Sinead Farley. When I interviewed her for the New York Post, that was, there was so much that I couldn't fit into the article because it went to print, which was my first ever print article, which was like so meaningful, like for me, that one, that I got something in print, but two, that it was that story, like Sinead's amazing story, that I think has to probably be my just favorite piece. And the conversation that we had was just so like, I couldn't fit everything in. It was just so deep and just so like inspirational, honestly, just to hear her talk and like to talk one-on-one with her about like what she went through and her comeback and like what it's meant to her. And it was one of the first interviews. I think it was the second interview that she had done since like one-on-one. I think she did one first with Meg and then with me, Meg Linehan, of course, for The Athletic. So it was just, yeah, an unreal conversation. I just feel so honored to help tell that story for her. But other ones that stick out, I mean, I also spoke to Lynn Williams a few times. One went in the Post as well, also went to print, which was really cool. And then, you know, kind of going to hashtag Once Gotham, the Becky Tweed and what she's doing over in Angel City. That was just, she's so fun. And what she's doing is just honestly incredible. And the fact that Angel City is in the playoffs in fifth place is just like such a testament, I think, to her and her coaching. And we saw that firsthand here when she was at Gotham. So yeah, it's a little bit of a long answer, but too many to pick from, really. And of course, Allie Krieger, talking to her. I talked to her when she announced her retirement. I mean, she's just a class act. It's just always so great to talk to her.
Yeah, I was proud of you when I saw you got to do Sinead Farley. I was like, that's awesome. That must be so amazing for her to be able to do that. Like just to prep for that, that's been incredible.
It was just, yeah, she's great. Just so has been so open. And actually, she did a post game a couple games ago, and I've just been so busy. But she kind of talked a little bit more about like reflecting on the season, and I hope to get something out on that, you know, before the championship. I just have so much on my plate, but she's just great. She's just an incredible person, and it's just. I just feel so honored that I got to cover her comeback and get to watch her play because holy crap, what a player.
What about you, Ruby? What was your favorite interview of the season?
I think I have two. Mm-hmm. Definitely Jasmine Ryan. She's so much fun to talk to. Mm-hmm. When she came, she's so much fun. She's like, she's such a great person to talk to. And then Menzies. He has stories for days. He really does have stories for days. And I really, even though I think you and I didn't spoke much in that interview, he was really easy to talk to because he would start, he literally gave us like from the beginning till the end, like what happened with the Reggae Girls. And we also got to know a little bit more what happened with Gotham that time when he took over as interim coach. And we knew that the Shield was in Red Bull Arena.
Okay.
He confirmed it.
I heard that that is not true. That it wasn't at Red Bull Arena. But I don't know. That I was told it wasn't actually there.
Yeah, he says it was.
It's a mystery.
You know, it could have been just like using it as fodder, like saying that it was there just to get people hyped up and mad that it was there.
But. Yeah. Oh, for sure. I like have like a very vivid memory of like we asked Efi in the post game, like, oh, did you see it? Is it like actually here? And she starts like bursting out laughing. And she's like, actually, I have no idea. I didn't see it.
Yeah. We're going to have to ask like every player
I
now.
Know. We're going to it's like a new mystery. Was the Shield there? Hilarious.
I would probably agree with you, Ruby. I think Menzies was probably the most fun just because it was like, I was not expecting to get him. I was like, you know, maybe I'll shoot my shot. I'll email him. And I emailed his team in Florida. I was like, all right, maybe if he sees it, whatever, he's probably going to say no. But like a like half hour later, it was like, sure. That's it. That's like all it said. I was like,
amazing.
Okay.
Always shoot your shot. That's like right? Been my motto since I've started doing this. Is like the worst that can be said is no. And then you shoot your shot.
Yeah.
Oh,
right?
One. I got one more. Baxter. Oh my God.
Baxter.
Baxter's always, always a party. Love her. And she's always like, whenever you want me to go, I'll be there. I'll be like, great.
she's so funny. Yeah.
Love Baxter.
She's obviously a fan favorite. I think every time she's been on the show, it's been like numbers. It's been good. Yeah. Fans just absolutely love her. Got to have her back on regularly. She's so much fun.
Yeah.
All right. Let's jump over to best midfielder. Last season, it was Mewis at 66%. And then this year, during the middle of the season, it was also Mewis at 50%. And now, this is an interesting one. This was like 25% all the way across Fairley, Sheehan, Mewis, and Martin. And I think that's fitting.
Yeah.
Your thoughts, Jenna?
Yeah, I when I saw that, I was like, that makes complete sense because it's such a hard question. The midfield has really been marred by injury this season, which has made, I think has made it really tough. So it's really hard to like say who's like the best because I think everybody has like stepped up at different times and kind of done what needs to be done in those different times. Obviously, Mewis being away at the World Cup and then coming back with the injury, I don't really know the timing of all that, but she hasn't played in a long time. So, it couldn't have been her. I think Sheehan has been so fun and interesting to watch. I mean, her hold-up play has been so good. I really haven't seen something like that on Gotham in a long time. Martin has stepped up, like, just been, you know, it's not her natural position, but she's been great. So I think I agree. I mean, I know Farrelly just eked it out here. And I think I have to agree because if I had to pick, because whether she starts, whether she comes off the bench, she has a spark, she brings a bite, her skill on the ball is just absolutely incredible. And just like her, the fact that she was away from the game for over 6 years and came back and is one of the team's best midfielders, I mean, it's just incredible. So I would agree. I think it's a tough question because of everything I just said, but I think that Sinead kind of edging out the rest makes a lot of sense given all the context.
Yeah, I do have to agree that everyone really stepped up in their own way when needed to be, especially during the World Cup that we had a lot of people missing. I mean, just Martin got like her contract renewed till 2026. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. A thing to like for her to come back to the club until 2026, that's just a testament of her skills in the midfield. I really do miss Mewis being at Gotham right now. Like you said, I don't even know how she got injured or where. She only played a minute at the World Cup. Maybe at training, that's what I'm thinking. Like, because I am trying to figure it out. Like, how did she get injured? Because she didn't play at the World Cup. Maybe at training she did get injured. Hopefully we get to see her back soon. Probably it's not going to happen, but I don't want to give it to one person. I think everyone stepped up.
Fair. I think we have to look back and see that Muse had a really good first half of the season. She was creating like two chances like a match. I think she was one of the top chance creators in the league.
Yes.
And she was on a mission to make that World Cup roster.
Yes.
And, you know, obviously we don't know why she's still away. And hopefully she gets back soon, because having that weapon in your arsenal is pretty crazy. And knowing that we have Ali Long on this roster and she did not make this list either is still pretty crazy too.
I know, this is how deep it is. Remember that set piece?
Yes.
Oh my God. Crazy good. Crazy good.
Yeah. But again, shout out to the young players. And this is as deep as a midfield as you're going to get. And they've all earned their spots. So yeah, I could go with either one of them, but I will give it to Martin just because how far she's come. Ooh. And, you know, again, to play a new position, to earn a long-term contract, and to keep Ali Long off the field is pretty ridiculous. So, yeah, not bad. All right, let's move over to the discussion questions. What were your expectations for Gotham going into this season? And if Gotham doesn't win anything, is this still a success for you, Jenna?
My expectations were not low, but like none, if that makes sense. Like, it's not that I had like low expectations or high expectations. I just didn't have any, because anything would be better than whatever the heck happened last year, to be frank. So I didn't have come in with any expectations whatsoever. So to me, they've exceeded them. They've exceeded none. I mean, they made it back to the playoffs. They stayed above the playoff line most of the season. I think all of the season. I have to just fact check myself on that. If they don't win anything, will it be a success? Yes, I do. I think in talking to Yael and players and Juan over the past few months, they wanted to make it into the playoffs. That's the goal. Obviously, the goal is championship. The Shield, you know, like you want to win those, but making it to the playoffs, I think, seemed to be the mark that they were trying to hit, and they did. Now, if they did that in 2021, feels like they just really snuck it in there in 2021. Like, this seems a little bit more like they did it. So I would say if they can at least make it to the semifinals, like, to me, like, that's like a roaring success for this team from last year. Now, if they could make it to the finals, great. If they could win, amazing. But I think ultimately, I would still consider the season a success, even if it does end in the quarterfinals.
Yeah, it's definitely a success if we see it from a point of view from last year, where they were like dead last last year. So I think I'm with Jenna. I didn't really have an expectation. As long as we were not last again, we have to remember we had a new coach, so new coaching staff as well. That's a different dynamic for most of the players. We have new players as well coming into the club. So that's difficult for everyone to like get chemistry on the field and off the field. And that takes time. Usually like when the year that happens, that year is kind of like the building year, like you're trying to get back there. To make it into the playoffs, it's really impressive because this is their building year for Gotham. So they're into the playoffs. Doesn't matter how it happened. They're there. They were in like high on the table the majority of actually all of the season. They were like fourth, fifth, third. They were even in first place this season. So I think they actually exceeded my expectation.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I believe that at the beginning of the season, if I'm being consistent, I said that this team has the roster and the coaching staff to win something. And I wanted this team to win something, right? I thought the best chance was the Challenge Cup. We were inches close to getting closer to the final there. And I didn't expect this to be in the Shield hunt. And so that is a huge success for this team to go from like historically bad to they went to seventh place once in the second week of the season and did not drop below the playoff line the entire rest of the season. Insanity to be able to pull that off after the season they had last season. So yeah, it's a success for me. Yeah, I want more. But yeah, I got to give it to the coaching staff and Yael and all them. They did a fantastic job. More butts in the seats, more revenue. Everything has been much better. So yeah, I would say a success for me. Let's get over to the attacker of the season. Now, last season, it was Monahan at 42%. Smith, Anamanu, and Purse were the other also ran. And at the mid of the season, it was just Lynn Williams at 100%. And at the end of the season, she is still the best attacker at 79% over Stengel, Ryan, and Peirce. We all agree?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think overall, when you look at the season as a whole, you have to give it to Lynn. I mean, leading goal scorer for the team, even if she missed some time for the World Cup and didn't score as much towards the end. You know, we had Stengel, Peirce, Esther Gonzalez, and Ryan kind of picking up that slack there a little bit. I mean, Yasmin has been doing so much quiet work, I think, to make sure the strikers can shine. But yeah, full picture of the season, it's absolutely Lynn Williams. She's a franchise player.
Yes. Everything that Jenna said. Yes.
Yeah. What I love about Lynn is, if we talk about last season, this team did not have a number 10, not in like on the field, but like number 10 in like a player that wants to be that franchise player.
Mm-hmm.
And Lynn came in and wore the number 10, and she acted like it. She was the focal point of the offense. She put the team on her back when this team was like, you know, close to losing games. Like as much as Abby Smith was putting this team on her back, so was Lynn. And she's putting in like shifts on both offensive and defensive side of the ball. But she has been amazing. And she's put this team on her back in the first half of the season. And I think the most remarkable thing about her is that obviously she's one of the best goal scorers in the league history. But I don't think that really matters too much to her. Like, it seems like she's in a secondary role now with Esther, and I don't think she cares. I think she just wants to win, and she'll do anything. She'll play any role and do anything she can to win a game. And I'm just really, really glad that she's here. But yeah, I agree that it is absolutely Williams. This is going to be an interesting question. I want to turn this into a fan poll myself, but what is your goal of the season?
Like goals scored or like my personal goals?
Mm-hmm. No, like goal scored of a player on the season.
No. That is so hard. Three stand out, which is the Ali Long set piece, the Jenna Neiswanger one that we were just talking about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, also the Bruninha goal. That was great. Yasmin's goal this weekend was a screamer. Lynn's Angel City goal, the first one in the first game.
Uh-huh.
Just because it like opened up the whole season. I don't know. I can't even pick.
I'm surprised you're missing this one.
Which one?
It is Zerboni's goal from like 40 yards out.
Oh my God. Right. Zerboni has been amazing.
Right?
Oh my God. I can't believe I forgot that goal. Out of nowhere. She was just like,
yeah.
Yeah. And the look on her face after that confidence and like peak McCall Zerboni was right there.
Miss her so much on the field.
Yes.
But yeah, I don't know if I could pick one of them, but I'm definitely going to put them, you know, for the fans to decide.
Yeah.
Obviously Ryan's was everything that we knew Ryan could do all season.
Yeah.
The promise that she made to us, and she finally fulfilled it, man. Wow. Incredible. I think that goal would make Midge Peirce blush if she saw that just cutting through all those players. Wow. But Ruby, what do you think?
But I mean, you're right. There has been so many great goals this season that it's hard just to pick one. It's so hard to just pick one. Bruninha, Williams, Neiswanger, Zerboni have all made incredible goals. It's so hard to pick just one.
And Esther's. And
yes. Like on her first game, she comes
and Stengel's first goal.
Like all these players have like done incredible like with these goals. It's so hard just to pick one. But this is not from this season. But do you remember that I think it was Onumanu's goal and then it was a corner?
Oh please, don't, why would you traumatize us again? Yeah. Oh my God.
We're looking forward. We're not going back.
God, that was truly traumatic.
All right. We can't decide, so we're going to leave it to the fans. I got to find clips for all those goals.
I know. That McCall goal, that's right. That was so good.
Yeah. All right, let's get to MVP. And last year it was Krieger at 63.2%, and we had Dorsey, Zerboni, and Mewis on there. And mid-season it was Williams at 57%, and Krieger was only 23%, which is surprising. Uh-huh. And then at the end of the season, it is 50% Krieger, Williams at almost 30%, Neiswanger and Abby Smith around 10%. Your thoughts, Jenna?
Yeah, I mean, this is such an interesting one because it's obviously she's retiring and we mm-hmm. all want to give her well-deserved flowers. I think for me, if Abby Smith had not been injured and had stayed in, she would have been my MVP. Mm-hmm. I think Lynn is very well deserving of the MVP accolade. I mean, like we were just saying, franchise player who helped turn this team around and literally, quite literally, put them on the board, even with that chunk spent away from international duty. But Krieger makes a lot of sense in a team full of leaders and a team full of MVPs. She's been consistent. She's a leader. Her play, like we just were talking about, has not dipped really. You know, it's just been fantastic to watch her play. And so I completely get and agree with her being the MVP of the season.
For me, well, we have players here in different positions. So
yeah,
we have goalkeeper, we have striker, we have defense here. So it's kind of hard to just pick one person because I think they all are really good in their position. Like if I could be like MVP Krieger, you know, defense MVP Smith because of goalkeeping and Williams MVP for, you know, all the goals she has made, like they all deserve it. It's really hard to just pick one. But if I do have to pick one, I would say Williams as well. I would say Williams. Why? Because you have to make goals to win.
Yeah, I think if you look at him like individually, I think Williams, what could have been if she didn't go to the World Cup, because, you know, that obviously takes her down a peg. She was able to continue her goal-scoring foray. And then just to have Neiswanger on this list is, again, says a lot about her as a player. Yeah. All these players are ridiculous players, and her to be on that list again as a rookie, good for her. Krieger, of course, the captain of the team, I think that probably would be my MVP pick. But again, with Abby Smith, I was well on the record forcing the Abby for MVP. You know, I was trying to get the league to recognize this because she was killing it. And again, I think she could have been the first goalkeeper MVP if she kept up what she was doing earlier.
I agree.
Incredible.
Yeah.
But yeah. So last discussion question, I believe. Yes. What do you think Gotham's chances are at the title?
Yes. That's my answer. Any team on any day could win that title. Any of these teams in the playoffs and any of the teams not in the playoffs could you know, compete for that. So I think they have just as good of a chance as any of the other teams in there right now. They just have to be a little bit more consistent in front of goal, kind of clean up some of the defensive mistakes. But they're a real threat. So I think that they are very capable of it.
What do you think, Ruby?
They have a good chance. I mean, this season, as we've seen, it's been very, very competitive with all these teams. For example, Angel City. We saw Angel City like at the bottom of that table before Beck Tweed took over. And now they're in the playoffs when that seemed kind of impossible. It became possible. So anything is possible for Gotham right now. They could easily make it to the finals for me.
Yeah, the hard part is over. They're in. They're in the playoffs, and essentially all they have to do is win three games in a row, which is not crazy.
The hard part is over, is it?
It is. They're in the playoffs. Anything can happen.
It's true.
When you're in the playoffs.
And they could easily win three games in a row. They could.
Yep. Getting into the playoffs is the hardest part. Once you're in, you got as good a chance of any. Last season, KC went to the championship as a fifth seed, not too far off as from the sixth seed this season.
Yeah.
They're as talented as anybody else. And they are the second best team on the road. So I think they can do it. It's going to be a journey.
You know, it's interesting that you say that about them being the second best team on the road, because when they didn't secure the home match, I like wasn't that upset about it, because I actually was thinking like their away record is quite good. I feel fully confident in them and their ability to do this.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I agree.
Now, Jenna, tell us, do you see any of these games for Gotham ending in penalties?
Oh my God. You know, yes, only because like it's going to come back to bite me in the butt because I'm such like a little like pot stirrer about penalties and other games that don't affect me. And so I could absolutely like see me having brought like bad vibes upon this. So I'm personally hoping that Gotham is able to just win these games in regulation time. Oh my gosh. But if it has to go to penalties for them to win, I guess that's chaos. Okay, but I hope they just win so that that doesn't have to happen. Oh, I wasn't even thinking about that, Ruby. Thank you.
You're welcome.
It would be what I deserve, not what they deserve, but
all right, this is my favorite category, because I, as you know, I like interviewing the players that don't get, you know, a lot of press. They need their stories told too. And I like talking about the players that go a little bit under the radar, that do a lot of the dirty work underneath and, you know, again, don't get the recognition for it. So this is our Game Changer Award. Yeah, mid-season, we had Zerboni at 31%, Sheehan at 51%, and we had Gene and Martin in there as well. At the end of the season, it was Zerboni winning at 40%, Taylor Smith at 31%, Mandy Haught and Jean at about 15%. Your thoughts, Jenna?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's McCall, 1,000%. Her ACL injury was devastating. She was having one of the best seasons that she's had since, like, 2019, honestly. Like, she was still getting starts at times, or she was coming off the bench and just making a difference. Like, you could tell. Like, it was so funny. I'd be, like, watching a game. I'd be like, this game needs Zerboni. And then Juan would put her in, and she was, like, tearing it up, scoring that goal. I mean, I was so upset for her with that injury. But actually, a funny story, not last weekend, but the home game prior to that, I was coming up the stairs to go to the press room at Red Bull Arena, and I saw her taking the stairs with her knee. And I mean, that just, I think, says like everything about who she is. Like, she is just like her work rate. The fact that she couldn't just take an elevator, it was right there, but she's going up the stairs. And I think the team really missed her this back half of the season. And she was 100% the game changer of this team.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. Like, just seeing her, like her, how she's been recovering on Instagram, it's really, really, really surprising, like, of her recovery time. And like you just said, she was going up the stairs, like, I would be on the couch. But yeah, she has been the game changer for me as well. It's very, very unfortunate that she had to get injured and she needed surgery, because, and it's not that she doesn't give 100%. Every time that she plays on the pitch. But this season, there was like something different about her. There was something different.
She fit in with this system. I think the system worked for her a lot better. And I totally agree.
Yeah, definitely. The system worked for her. Her mentality, her mindset was different this season. And I just saw her out there giving 120% for the team. And she will get that, like, she will get knocked down and she will be up right away and making goals, making runs, defending and attacking. It was just incredible to see her out there. And it was really an honor to see her play. And hopefully we get to see her back with Gotham next year.
Agree.
Yeah, I do also agree that it is Zerboni, but I think this is interesting that in the middle of the season, we did have Martin and Sheehan as game changers, and they did not make the end of the season award show because they're not game changers anymore. They're starters.
Mm-hmm.
And good on them. And yeah, Zerboni was having an incredible season. And I echo everything you said about her recovery. Is, again, as someone who's been through it twice, and, you know, I was a rehab assistant for a little bit, hashtag no side hustles while I was playing soccer. So yeah, she's doing incredible, and I can't wait to see her back on the field. Hopefully, again, is with Gotham. All right, that is the end of our award show. You know, we're not going to get a chance to do this often, so I think we should leave on a very positive note and give our thanks to the MVP, Allie Krieger. Jenna, you want to go first?
Absolutely. And Gary, I know you have a little novel coming, so I will keep mine pretty short. Just kind of echo what I've already said on Twitter. You know, when Krieger came to Gotham, didn't really know what to make of it. Obviously, I knew she would bring in some more fans, but she has done so, so much more than that. She's exceeded all expectations from her play on the field, her leadership on and off the field. I think she's truly made Gotham a better place and a better team. She's a legend on a national, international level. She's fought for equal pay. She's provided a safe space for LGBTQ plus fans. And she's truly just one of the best people I've ever had the honor of interacting with in this space. I just want to say thank you, Allie. Thank you for all you've given us over the years. Best of luck on your next chapter. And we are all rooting for you.
Definitely. She has had... I'm just saying, what an extraordinary career for her. We find ourselves just reflecting on the immense impact that Allie has had in the world of soccer. It is with great admiration that we celebrate her legendary journey. And I cannot wait to see what comes next as she steps into a new chapter of her life in retirement. I know a lot of good things are going to come for her coming up after she leaves soccer. I mean, her story is one of inspiration, determination, and just commitment to the beautiful game. And just from her earliest days on the soccer pitch, it was clear that she possessed like a rare talent, very special talent out there. Her journey, it's been very remarkable, becoming an international soccer star. And it, again, nothing short but remarkable. We remember like her countless times that she wore that U.S. Women's National Team jersey, 108 caps. It's a statement of enduring, of dedication, of representing her country. She's just so incredible. And like you mentioned, she used her platform for LGBTQ rights and equal pay. She amplified what it means to like to use her influence for a greater cause. And I could go on and on and on and on about Allie Krieger. And I just want to say thank you for being a shining star that you are, Allie, out there. And you have left the mark in the soccer world. We're going to be eternally grateful for who you are and what you did for everyone.
Agreed, Ruby. I think my little thing here in summary is that Allie sets the standard. And I think that is, I think, everything. She sets the standard wherever she is, whether it's on the field, off the field. About two or three weeks ago, I had a conversation with a youth player and they asked me like, what advice could you give me to, so I want to go pro? And I told him like the number one thing you could possibly do is be coachable. Like it doesn't matter if you're like super talented or work really hard. If you're not doing what the coach wants you to do, or if you don't understand what the coach wants from you, then you're not going to make it. I know players that are way more talented than I'll ever dream of, and they never made it to be pro. And here I am, you know, I got a chance to do that for a little bit because I was coachable. I would listen to the coach, ask the coach questions, figure out what he wants for me to do, and do whatever he wanted me to do. Right. And I think Allie is the personification of that. You can tell that her father was a coach because she just gets everything right. And, you know, she's always talking to the coaches. She's always talking to the refs. She's always talking to the other players and figuring out where everyone should be. And she just knows. She's just a coach on the field and she just gets everything right. I know it's kind of funny because you watch her play and she'll make a pass that's just, it's just not perfect. It's a good pass, but it's just not perfect. And she immediately puts her hand up and is like, I made a mistake. Sorry, everybody. Like, it's on me. And I'm like, not everything has to be perfect, but for her, like, it has to be. And she does that. And I always said this when we first got her on the team, that I think she's one of my favorite players to watch just because I know how obsessed she is with getting everything right. And those are some of the favorite players that I've ever played with, had the same mentality. I know that I said something like, if you just turn the lights off, like I know I could play the ball over there and Allie will be there because that's where she's supposed to be. Because she, again, she just understands everything. She understands the assignment. And last season when I said that she could be a good defensive midfielder, because I just know that she would understand the assignment and she knows what's required of her in that position. And she did it. She could play forward. She could play goalkeeper. She just would just understand where to be you know, all that. And that's just on the field stuff. Like off the field, as you guys both said, that she is a legendary, you know, human rights, LGBTQ rights, and she was always unapologetic about being who she was. And just the fact of her being who she is opened the door for so many people, and it knocked down walls for others. And she would always leave the door open behind her so everyone else can go through with her. Trailblazer, amazing person. And I'll leave on this. One of my questions of this season that I've asked everybody, I'm like, you know, what's it like playing with Allie Krieger? What's it like playing with her in her last season? Because it's not just that, you know, I want to know more about her as a player, but to listen to the reverence people have for her. And I made that joke that, like, you know, find somebody who talks about you the way teammates talk about Allie Krieger. And I sit back and I'm just like listening to them talk with reverence about her. And it's amazing. It's fascinating because she doesn't seem like a real person. Right?
Yeah.
Like nobody should be talked about that way all the time. Like there's gotta be, she's impossible. She's an impossible person. So I'm lucky that I got a chance to see her up close and in person. I got to see her play up close in person. I got to listen to her talk, and, you know, through her stories, through her actions, she's amazing. And I just want to say thank you, Allie, for everything, for just being the, you know, she sets the standard for being a player, a friend, a sister, a daughter, a coach, an ally, and just a human being. So again, thank you, Allie.
And I just want to add one more quick thing, which was at the post-game mix zone after the game, Midge Curse was asked about Allie. And this kind of goes into what you were saying about, you know, the way that people talk about you, the way your teammates talk about Allie Krieger is what we should all strive for. Because what Midge said was that she doesn't let people in too often. She doesn't let others help or lean on others. But Allie Krieger is someone that she always lets in. And I think that just says everything right there about who she is as a person, a player, a teammate. And she will be missed in this game. But hopefully she sticks around in some capacity around the game. And I'm certain we have not seen the last of her.
Yeah. And I have one more thing to add, because I just remembered right now. It was one day after a press conference after a game. And I remember I was just standing, you know, by the tunnel outside the press conference room. And I was right there, and she walks by, and she was like, thank you. So she didn't do press that day, but she just was walking by. You could see like her hair was wet because she just had taken a shower. And she walked by and she just said, thank you for coming. Thank you for being here. Mm-hmm. And I was like, it took me by surprise, because usually, like, I feel like not a lot of players would stop to just say thank you for being there. So I will remember that forever.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Agreed. All right. That is the end of our postseason award show. Thanks to everyone who votes and just invests any time, effort into this podcast. This show is designed to connect fans near and far to this team. We love this club. We love covering this team. And yeah, we're one big Soccer Over Gotham family. We all have a collective mission to grow the sport we love. And for Jenna, Ruby, and myself, thanks for listening to episode 88 of Soccer Over Gotham, getting closer to that 100.
That's right.
Getting closer. Hopefully we'll be back with, you know, another recap of another game and another game and another game till we win the championship. But it starts this weekend with the Courage. Are y'all ready?
As ready as I'll ever be.
I'm ready.
Hi, everyone. This is Gary. Thank you for listening and supporting our project. Here are other ways you can support the show and connect with us. First, word of mouth is everything. So please share our show with anyone who might listen. Also, please rate us 5 stars on Spotify and review us on iTunes. You can purchase our merchandise at the T Public store. Join in the conversation on Twitter at OverGothamPod and Instagram at SoccerOverGotham. Lastly, you can email your thoughts and questions at SoccerOverGotham@gmail.com. Once again, thank you. Yeah, I don't know if I've told this story on the podcast, but when we were first starting, there were like two other Gotham FC podcasts that were going on, and we were kind of just, I was just like blasting ahead. We were just doing our thing. And there was, you were just coming up, Jenna. And I saw your work and I was like, this player has a lot of talent. I'm like, I'm just kind of building a community. So the first thing I did was reach out to you and you came on the show. We had a great conversation and we became friends ever since. And I remember you telling me like the story that like one of the other podcasts like asked you to be on and you were like, no, I got my podcast.
And you said that? Oh my gosh. I don't remember that at all.
You did say that. And I was like, that's when I knew like we were making it. We were almost there. I was like, it's like we've been accepted.
Oh my gosh. But yes, but no, this, you guys know I'm honorary Soccer Over Gotham through and through.
It is true.
Ride or die. All
right. Don't lie, Gary. It wasn't two. There was a bunch of podcasts that came out during, yeah, it was a bunch during the pandemic. And
we're real. I don't remember that.
There's a bunch
too. I mean, I will say it's hard. I mean, I'm preaching to the choir with YouTube, but it is hard to do a good podcast. Like it's, and I always like respect people who come in and try to do this because it's really difficult to get guests, produce it, write the scripts, like do all that. I know it's a little bit of a behind the scenes. I'm going off on a tangent here, but I just want to say like for the listeners, like it's just so impressive what Gary and Ruby do every week. And so I'm just so happy you guys are still here. And it's just, the pod has just grown so much over the last three seasons. And I'm just glad to be a small part of it. So thank you for all your kind words, Gary, but I'm here. You can't get rid of me now.
It's true. Yeah. I'm not talking trash about the other, but I think there's room for more than one soccer or more Gotham podcast. I'm just putting that out there. And we all have our own lanes. So I just knew what our lane was. But again, thank you, Jennifer, helping us out.
Always.